Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Here we go. Tuesday morning. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Always worldwide. On the free Odyssey app, Bud Light Big Game Week rolls on. Tuesday morning edition. Live from New Orleans. Welcome aboard. Michael Phillips here with you for the next 2 hours. AWOD Radio, noon to 3. Grant and Danny drive you home this afternoon on 910 The Fan. Most big game coverage in Richmond. We got a loaded show for you this morning. Ryan Leaf drops by at 10 o'clock. Looking forward to that chat. A guy who has an incredible life story. I think you'll enjoy hearing from him. We got a ton of other great folks today. Nate Tice, Yahoo Sports draft analyst. It feels like every year we're here at the big game talking about who are the Commanders going to pick with their number 2 pick, number 3 pick, number 4 pick, whatever it is. Who are they going to pick with the number 29 pick? That's a different game. Will they make a trade? A couple big names out on the market. Cooper Kupp came on the market after we were off air yesterday. We'll dive into all that. We have not forgotten about VCU basketball. VCU basketball tonight, 7 o'clock, home game against LaSalle. 19-point favorites. We call that the taking care of business game. Robbie Robinson joins the show at 11:30 to get us ready for that. Lots to get to. We got to tell the story of dinner last night here in New Orleans because we're out here doing bits with my guy GP. Before we do that, though, I mean, I think the number one big item yesterday was Josh Harris's comments on the Washington Commanders name. And I want to break this down for you, both intellectually, because that's what we do here. We're smart people. We ask good questions. We get good answers. And also emotionally, because I don't like the Commander's name. And at the end of a fun season, I hate hearing, like, and by the way, Commanders, it's here to stay. That's not what I wanted to hear yesterday from Josh Harris. If that's the penalty, if that's the Dan Snyder penalty this franchise is paying, fine. The winning's more important. The NFC title games are more important. But I think it was a very interesting press conference with Josh Harris yesterday. You, of course, heard it live right here on 910 The Fan. We'll open up the listener lines as the week goes on. We're on social media, 910 The Fan, all over the place. We've got Macy, the intern, hanging out with us this week, getting all kinds of great social media content. We're going over to the Superdome later. I'm fired up for that. Get to go on the field that the Super Bowl is going to be played on. Maybe we'll make some predictions, talk about the game, do all that good stuff, get you ready for that. And it feels like the NBA is still taking a lot of the oxygen of the room with this Luka trade. The fallout from that continues as well. Macy's given the fist pump. Who's your team? The Lakers. Okay, yeah, that's a W of a trade if there ever was one. That's a block W, Commander's W of a trade if there ever was one. Lots of fun stuff on tap today here from Radio Row in New Orleans. Bud Light Big Game Week. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Our sponsors this week sending us down to the big game. This is, I would say, bigger than last year, which was bigger than any of the other COVID years. Radio Row was back last year for the first time. Celebrities, people doing stuff, the energy in the room in Vegas. And this year it's just even bigger in New Orleans. I think this is going to be a really fun week for everybody involved. I think this is going to be a really cool big game week, even by big game week standards. I was running the numbers. I think this is my 11th big game week. This one's got a pretty special buzz on the air, which I'm excited about. I think that people are excited to be back in New Orleans, first time in more than a decade since the power went out at the Harbaugh Bowl. The Colin Kaepernick Super Bowl, Ray Lewis Super Bowl. The power went out at that one. They haven't been back here in 11 years. The power went out yesterday here on Radio Row at 9 o'clock in the morning. So right about now, yesterday is when the power went out. Apparently we're good. Adam plugged in too many electronics. I don't know what happened. But the power went out for all of Radio Row. So I believe the national sports media just stopped its conversation for a moment. Did not continue its conversation. Josh Harris yesterday talked about the Washington Commanders' name, said it's here to stay. It's coming to mean something. And you heard that from Adam Peters in his end-of-year chat with the media. He said, we're looking for Commanders. That name means something. Playing for that logo means something. We're looking for guys who represent the Washington Commanders and a Commander-type football player. Before the season, you all know I don't like the name. Before the season, somebody called in. It was like, well, what if they win a Super Bowl? They win a Super Bowl, you got to keep the name. I said, great. Yes, I'm in. That's awesome. If the trade is the team wins a Super Bowl, but you have to keep this name, that's not my favorite, I will side on the dotted line. You can call my favorite team whatever you want to call them as long as you're calling them champions. That's fine. I'll make that deal 10 times out of 10. Would I trade an NFC title game appearance for the next? All right, now we're in the gray area here. It was a fun ride. It was a good season. We're still living in the glow of this season, which never happens here at Big Game Week. Usually we've had multiple major coaching changes. This time around, looks like we're going to run it back with just about everybody involved. There have been some interviews, but I think pretty much the whole staff is going to hit the run it back button here, which is exciting to everybody. Doesn't take any of the air out of this for me. Doesn't leave me without any juice this week. But at the same time, Josh Harris now, the other thing he said, the two dots I want to connect here, he said 2030 remains their goal for a new stadium in a realistic time frame. Of course, they want that to be at RFK. So 2030 is the time frame. That's 5 to 6 years from now, depending on how you keep score here as we turn the calendar to 2025. I've always thought they wanted to rebrand with the new stadium. Just doing it before then was premature. It's too quick. It's too many names and too short a time. I thought they'd wait until then. Now, if the next 5 years are what we think they are with Jaden Daniels and the amount of merch they're going to sell and the amount of number five jerseys they're going to sell, yeah, it becomes a lot harder at that point to rebrand. The other interesting thing that Josh Harris said yesterday that I think was worth taking note of, he said you're going to see next year in the uniforms, in the merch, them working in the past more, right? He deliberately didn't use the word Redskins because that name's not coming back. Everybody understands that. But you're going to see a little bit more old-style uniforms. Somebody suggested maybe even the spear for a throwback uniform, something where you're dabbling in it a little more than they've dabbled in it in the past. And I think that everybody's more okay with that now. This isn't a politics show. We have one of those. It's on 1140. I don't host it. I'm not going to host it. The political climate is inarguably more favorable to bringing back some of that imagery. The NFL climate, people like Josh Harris. People are more willing to go along with his game plan here. But it's also the last thing I want to be discussing at Bud Light Big Game Week coming off the season that just happened in Washington, D.C. And so we're not going to go hard on it, but I feel like I've done a ton of name talk over the course of the year. The junkies have built an entire show around talking about the name Commanders, so we're not going to ignore it. But at the same time, there's just too much fun to be had here. People want to talk about the Washington Commanders. People want to talk about Jaden Daniels. People want to talk, are they going to be in the market for these guys who are getting traded? Are they going to make a splash? Are they going to make a big move? Are they going to trade with Cleveland? Are they going to trade with L.A.? Are they going to bring in a pass rusher? Are they going to bring in a receiver? I think those are the better conversations to have this week because they're more reflective of the energy, the buzz around this team. I know you saw it around town. I saw it around town. I saw it at the pep rally we did before the Eagles game. I saw it just in people wearing their burgundy and gold to the grocery store the week of that game. It's a thing that's acceptable to do again. And I think that's the focus of the week to me. In the NFL, anything you say is never good forever. There's no such thing as forever in the NFL. So when Josh Harris says we're sticking with the name, I'm not putting a forever on the end of that statement. Things can change. Things do change. But I think he realizes, I'm realizing, even as good a topic as it is, I'm realizing we cannot sustain that energy talking about this name for another 5 years until they open the stadium. And so Josh Harris shut it down yesterday. It's Commanders. We're riding with Commanders. I think that name means something inside the building, was what Josh Harris said. And I agree with that. I think certainly coming off a winning season, everybody feels a little better wearing some Commanders merch. And in 2030, if we need to revisit this, I'm going to be here. Y'all can call in, 833-804-0910. We'll revisit it at that time. It's Tuesday morning. We're on Radio Row. We got a ton of great guests for you. Today, we'll get that fired up. It's VCU basketball game night. Don't forget about that. 7 o'clock tonight against LaSalle down at the Stew. One of your last chances to see them for a little while before they hit the road for a couple of games. Big one Friday night at Dayton. So we are off and running. Looking forward to a great show today. This is MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Pleased to welcome into the show Ryan Leaf. Ryan, good morning. How's it going?
It's going great, man.
Awesome. Day two for you here. How do you rebound here? Did you go out last night?
No, I was asleep at 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a 14-month-old baby girl at home. So, like, this is heaven. Like, I was. You know, I went to bed at 8 o'clock. Got 10 hours of sleep. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm heading home. I'll get to see them, though, today. I'll be in Virginia, actually.
You're in D.C. getting an award.
I am, yeah.
Tomorrow. So let's start there, because your story's incredible, and I think a lot of people have heard it by now. What's it like now to be on the other side of this, where people are now recognizing your work, but also recognizing the importance of mental health and everything you've been talking about?
Well, I think it's really important. You know, I think stigma is probably the last hurdle that this is going to we're going to have to clear, and it's just something that's going to continue and continue and continue. So that's really great. And I am finding it differently. Like, I'll be pregame for an NFL game, and one of the players will come up and say he heard me speak at tight end from last year who was on Green Bay came up to me and said he was at Baylor when he heard me speak. And so I asked the guys at the Senior Bowl Friday night how many have heard my story, and like one third or half of them raised their hands.
That's cool.
And I said negative or positive ways, and almost all of them raised their hand positive. So I think it goes to show everybody out there, like, just breathe. Like, this too shall pass, whatever it is, you know, if you just try to do the next right thing. And when you don't, you make apologies and amends for them, and you get back up and you keep moving forward. And so I think that's it. I think the example part of it, rather than necessarily, you know, talking about it, has been the best thing for me over the last decade.
And you got these kids who, you know, they maybe are now too young to know.
Oh, they so are too young to know, yeah.
your story, exactly. But you can speak to them in a way that a lot of people can.
Well, I tell them, I'm, you know, 27 years ago I was right where you were, you know, and probably in a better situation. I was about to be the first or second pick in the NFL draft. And so I know the answers to the test. I know all the wrong answers, and I know all the right answers. So you're getting them all when you get that. And it's just a matter of whether you're willing to go, tell your story. I don't think a lot of people do, because they hold tight to it and feel like it has some power over them, I think. Or if you don't talk about it, it didn't happen. Or, you know, and that's the worst thing you can do, is you go own your stuff. That's all anybody ever wants, is that you own your stuff. Because you figure out pretty quick that we're all the same. We're all these flawed human beings trying to be better.
Ryan Leaf joining us here on Radio Row. Now, you take us to kind of when you started doing that, though, because you're doing all these interviews now. You know, you're the face of mental health in a lot of ways. What was that first hurdle like, though, when you put yourself out there like that?
Well, I didn't want to, you know. I got out of prison, and I went to treatment, and I was just like, I kind of want to disappear, you know. But look at this. The NFL is a giant conglomerate, and it's worldwide. And so guess what? My name doesn't go away. Every April, especially when you draft 6 quarterbacks in the first round, you know, don't draft another Ryan Leaf mentality. And so my name gets brought up in a negative connotation a ton. So my name wasn't going to go away. So I had to either figure out how to deal with it in a healthy way or take that that power away from it. And so I just started sharing my story. And when you do that, it's almost like, you know, B. Rabbit at the end of 8 Mile, where he just stands up and goes first and throws all his stuff out onto the table, and then the next guy steps up and there's no diss track anymore. Like, I don't got anything. You just, you know, I built myself into a glass house, right? And everybody can see it, and I'm okay with that. I'd rather be that than to be hiding things and people not know what's going on than this, because I think it's definitely meant and given me a better life because of it.
And you now do the rounds. So you tell us kind of about what you're promoting here and what your message you spread across.
Well, I was, you know, kind of, I'm actually here working. You know, I do the SiriusXM NFL radio show in the mornings, the opening drive. So I've been doing that for about 5 years now. So I come out here and do that, and then I get an opportunity to, you know, we didn't do Radio Row last year. First time in like 10 years because the baby had just been born.
Yes.
And so we were home with the newborn, and so this year we got back out there, and it doesn't disappoint. You know, everybody is really supportive, has me on their show to talk about some real things, and that's an important thing. So, you know, doing some work with The Last Mile, which is a foundation that puts educational programming in prisons. And I mean like real applicable skills for when you get out. They're learning how to code while in there, which is crazy.
Yep.
I remember going to speak to some of them in San Quentin a couple weeks ago, and I asked the guys, I was like, did you like know anything about coding before you started this? And the guy's like, no. Imagine how overwhelming that is. Like, I don't know zeros and ones or any of that way to go about it. And they did it. And so they do it in a way, and when they graduate, it's a very intense program. And if and when they get out, they really can walk into a job interview with a technology company with real applicable skills. So that's what I've been doing. SiriusXM has a radio show that they made me the host of. I go and speak to these young men and women, and 95% of the incarcerated people in this country are going to get out.
Now, I know, which is awesome. Sorry, I was going to pivot to the radio show, because I know you're a Dan Quinn guy. We're the Commanders affiliate.
Yeah.
What did you think of the job he did this year?
It's incredible. You know, I think he gets probably, you know, saddled with that Super Bowl loss more than anybody. He's the head coach, right? Everything falls at his feet. And he probably should have just looked over at Kyle Shanahan and said, I just want you to take a knee the rest of the game. All right, just take a knee. I mean, just that type of lead to lose it. And I don't know if it would have been anybody else other than Tom Brady. He's a Super Bowl champion. And so Atlanta's loss, certainly Washington's gain, because people gravitate towards him. He develops football players. Of course, he knows better than anybody, being a defensive-minded head coach, he's got to get better on defense. But they found their quarterback. They got to retain Cliff Kingsbury, and I think that's a huge thing for them. And Cliff really, I thought, did a good job this year evolving. He's very, you know, when you got Terry McLaurin, sometimes players over plays works better. And in the NFL, I think that's a lot of what it is. That type of offensive scheme is kind of based in Mike Leach's hybrid air raid, and Mike Leach was never players over plays. He was plays over players, even when you had Michael Crabtree, and you just are looking at him like, why isn't he catching the ball 30 times a game, you know? Well, because my system is what gets everybody good. And I thought Cliff moved around this year and did some things differently, and Terry, when he didn't start off really well, wasn't being targeted enough, you know, got really into the mix this year. And so this team's on the rise for sure. Philly's good. You know, Dallas is always going to throw their hat in the ring. I don't know what the Giants are ever going to be competitive again. It's a bad deal. But but Washington's got to feel really, really pleased about everything. Having said that one thing, though, they had a chance.
Yes.
Right? They had a chance in the NFC Championship to go to the Super Bowl. And just ask Dan Campbell in Detroit. You know, you just miss it the year before, and you're like, okay, we're going to be better the next year. We're going to go next year. Well, there's somebody shows up like Washington. Now, who's going to be next year's Washington? They're going to kick, you know, the Commanders to the curb. When you have a chance like that, you got to take advantage of it. And the guys that weren't ready to play, that were too young, that coughed up the football, you know, that's gonna be something they're going to probably have to look at for a long time, because it's really hard to get back there.
Their roster will be indisputably better next year. Doesn't mean they're going to be back where they were. You know that. Everybody's chasing that goal. Only two spots in that NFC title game. Ryan Leaf joins us on Bud Light Big Game Week here on The Fan. And you mentioned the Cliff Kingsbury thing. So I covered Big 12 football back in the day. I was watching that Lions game. He's running concepts I saw at Texas Tech back in the day. It's just the way he goes back in the bag and kept it fresh every week. I came away really impressed this season.
Yeah, so did I. It was fun to watch, because I coached in that offense, you know. What's funny, when I was coaching down at Texas in Amarillo, I would drive down to Lubbock, and that coach's room was crazy to think back on it now. Like, I was sitting in there, and Mike Leach is talking football with me, and, you know, in walks Lincoln Riley and Cliff Kingsbury. But guess what? They're not coaches or anything. They're like GAs bringing coffee in, you know, and doing all these things. Seth Luttrell, you had Sonny Dykes. Who else was in there? You had Holgerson.
Dana Holgerson.
I mean, it was just loaded with all these great coaches that would go on to have really successful careers. And so it's funny looking back on it now. But that's where they all learned it. They played in it. They learned it. It is based in that concept. And it's the reason why it is, it's a simple concept. You know, it is a progression reading, what defenses give you through four quarters of a football game. So it makes sense when you start to see that in an NFL game, yeah.
It's over the course of it, because they were a really good second half team. Like, how much does that happen where coaching can distill to the players that quickly? I mean, that's a skill set there.
Well, because I'm telling you right now, the offense isn't very big. Right, it's a certain
base plays.
Yes, it's not many. Enough so that if you ever watch Mike Leach call plays, it was on a sheet of this paper. Right, I mean it was
index card.
It was 90 through 99 really as play calls. So we're gonna go, you know, deuce right 90, 95. That's all it's called, and all receivers know what they're running. The protection is known as a 90 protection, and the routes are exactly what they are every single time. But depending on two high or one high in terms of defense and what part of the game it is, because I bet you in the first quarter he's thrown a lot of outs, a lot of flats over here to when they over adjust to it, then all of a sudden he's hitting the guy over the middle until ultimately at the end of the game he's hitting the backside post dig, because everybody's, and that's just the way the offense is bred to go. It means you can call the same play over five times in a row and never hit the same receiver over those five consecutive plays. So that's makes it easy for a quarterback. It makes it very difficult for a defense to prepare for because of all those things, and you just don't have enough time in 1 week to prepare. That's why I think the teams that play Washington more than once a year, the divisional opponents, and then clearly a third time in the NFC game, that's why Leach was always struggled a lot on openers and bowl games.
Sure.
Because teams had more time to prepare for what they did.
Makes sense. Ryan Leaf, kind enough to join us here. Anything you want to plug here on your way out?
Oh, I don't know. you know, just be kind to one another. You know, the best thing that I learned 10 years ago, and for somebody who kind of thought it was all about me most of my life, when you start making it about other people, your life gets better. And I didn't think that was true. But it is, and it's given me the life of my dreams for sure, my family and the work I get to do. So just really grateful for that. Thanks for having me on, and I'm going to check out. I still can't get over, like, you know, I'm taking the train into Alexandria, Virginia. The event's in Maryland. It's next to D.C. I mean, everything's just like cornered around one another there, and so I'm going to be in like four different states here in the next 2 days.
Enjoy your time. Congrats on the award, and have fun getting back to the kiddos. So.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Ryan Leaf, we're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan. Now
1051 FM. 1051 FM. Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I'm always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Thanks to our friends at Bud Light. We're live in New Orleans. It's Bud Light Big Game Week. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Bud Light, it's going to be a fun week down here, off to a great start. What an interview there with Ryan Leaf, who has a cool story to tell. And I'll let you, like, I want to give the whole 10 minutes to both of his worlds, because hearing him talk about going to prison, coming back on the other side, becoming an advocate for mental health, and now speaking to the Senior Bowl, speaking to colleges. What an incredible story, and certainly if you don't know his full story, it's worth looking up and hearing, and he's told that extensively many times. But I also wanted to make sure we made enough time, because that dude knows him some Cliff Kingsbury offense, and I wanted to make sure we made time for that as well. Because just hearing him break down what they did at Texas Tech, what it meant for, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, his development, so many players who came through there, I thought that was great insight as well. Talking about, you know, Texas Tech, they had the little Cliff Notes of plays, you know, the 10 plays, index card, run them 100 different ways, run them to 100 different targets. Talking about how, you know, he has to adapt that with Terry McLaurin. Had to adapt to finding a way to get the stars the ball. Has to make sure that everybody's getting taken care of and everybody's getting fed inside that offense. So I thought that was really great insight. That's why we come down here. That's why we spend Odyssey's hard-earned money coming down here doing the thing. My guy Mitch Tischler walking by here on Radio Row. Bud Light Big Game Week. I know he'll be out and about this week. We're just getting started here in New Orleans. Great insights, great folks. We have not forgotten about VCU basketball. It's game night tonight. VCU LaSalle in 12 minutes. Robbie Robinson, the voice of the Rams, will join us. Mitch, you come on for a second here? Yeah. Perfect. We'll get Mitch Tischler on. This special celebrity. This is why we leave some segments unblocked, Mitch. VCU. Oh yeah, you're coming in for VCU basketball.
Heck,
I love
yeah.
It. There we were gonna get get Nate Tice here in this segment. We're good. All right. Thank you, Mitch. Good appearance there. We'll catch you. We're gonna do VCU basketball talk. Don't worry about that. Slide on over. You never know what's going on. Yahoo Sports NFL analyst Nate Tice joins us here. He is. Breaking down the NFL every week, the ins and outs, the strategies, you'll fit in nicely here because we just had Ryan Leaf on.
Great.
And he's breaking down Cliff Kingsbury, the Commanders, the offense,
yeah.
All the different things they did this year to keep people on their toes. So, one, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks
appreciate
for dropping
it. Yeah, we hit the ground running. This is great.
Let's just hit the ground running.
Yeah.
What impressed you about what the Commanders did this year, that full turnaround?
How much they're getting to out of tempo, and I know that's the obvious thing when you watch the Commanders, how fast they go.
One
runs more no-huddle than the Commanders, but I thought it was so cool the menu they were able to get to. Most teams, you go tempo, you got about 5-6 plays, and that's all you can do. And there, if you watch that opening drive against the Cardinals, that was the drive that was like, oh, man, this is a little different than Cliff, and maybe Cliff was having a little revenge game there, you know, going against his old team. That first drive was brilliant. It was just all no huddle. It was wildcat runs. Brian Robinson ended up scoring a touchdown on it. Just all these different things. And I thought that really stood out to me. I also thought, not only just Cliff's work, but Bobby Johnson, offensive line coach. I thought that pairing was interesting to me, and I didn't know interesting in a good or a bad way before the season. And after the season, I'm like, no, it was good, because Bobby Johnson is a very NFL line coach. And then now he's paired with Cliff, who has some college ideals, but maybe has learned some lessons. And I just thought that was a really cool pairing. The run game was really exotic, and I just like that stuff.
When you talk about how much they can do, obviously we know Cliff can do a lot. How much? Jaden's where it starts, though,
yes.
Right? Because if your quarterback can't run that,
right,
you can install as many plays as you want.
Exactly. And his, God, Jaden's just, I mean, anyone that watched the Commanders this year, his calmness, and he was just always in control. He's able to signal. I noticed that just offhand, just watching the Commanders, which, again, that's trust in the quarterback. And you're not going to, and sometimes going no-huddle makes it easier on the offense and makes it easier on the quarterback, simplifies the reads. But that's what stood out to me, was that they were able to get to more advanced stuff, and that meant, oh, they trust quarterback to do this. And also watching Jaden, and this is something that maybe I underrated him coming out of LSU, he can actually kind of handle protections already, which is a big sign for a young quarterback, and it's actually why I like a lot of these young guys from this class, because a lot of them are very smart, and that's kind of been going a little underrated with Jaden, his mental side and maybe his pre-snap side that he's been able to show.
The gift of having the high pick last year and not this year. No
it's
shade.
A good problem.
No shade on these guys.
No.
But it's a very different class.
Yes,
it is. This year.
Oh yeah, there's one quarterback, really. I actually did. It's funny you mentioned that Ryan Leaf was on earlier. I believe that he said he liked Riley Leonard from Notre Dame, and that's actually another guy that I'm actually pretty bullish on. Not as a first-rounder, but as a day two dart throw is how I've been describing him. But that's what this class is. It's Cam Ward is my QB1, and then I think it's a big tier difference, and then it's Shedeur Sanders. But the thing is, Cam Ward would have been QB5 in last year's class. So, again, that's what the context of this class. And I had Dane Brugler on Football 3-1, the athletics draft expert, and we were just talking about how many blue chips are in this class. And we're like, 3? 4?
Yeah.
Last year's class probably had 12 to 18. And when you do that kind of math, it's going to make this draft wide open. And especially, we don't, right now, we think about these things with the quarterbacks. The coaches and everybody are just getting the hands on them. I think we're about to hear some silly news. We already see a Jackson Dart rise right now, which I do not agree with. but I just also see, like, you can start seeing that sprinkled in. So this next month, I think, is about to get really, really silly, as it always is.
We're going to have some fun, no doubt. Nate Tice breaks it down. Football 301 on Yahoo Sports. So give me the breakdown on Sunday. We got it's the matchup no America didn't ask for. But from a football perspective, it's a really good one.
It is, because you've got a lot of good players and you got a lot of good coaches. You got two of the best defensive coordinators of all time. Like, really, Steve Spagnuolo's game plan should go in the Hall of Fame. I really believe that. Vic Fangio would one of the favorites to win assistant coach of the year, him and Aaron Glenn, for good reason. It's a legit top three, top four defense any way you shake it. I think this game, and I hate to be as old school coach as possible, it's all about turnovers.
Yeah.
And it's all about, I think we're going to see a lot of methodical drives. Neither of these defenses let up a lot of explosive plays. So I think they're both top five in explosive plays allowed. So I think you're going to see a lot of Saquon Barkley short touches, a lot of RPOs for the Eagles. And on the flip side, it's kind of be what we've known from the Chiefs this year, which is a lot of jabs. It's a death by 3 yards. And I think that they're fine with it. So it's really a race to 10 play drives, I think, is going to be the deciding factor.
Is that the best way to shut down Patrick Mahomes? Because you can't let him have the deep ball. Everybody learned that the first couple of years. But you also kind of can't let him have the short stuff either.
That's what's, I think, frustrating. Everyone's like, oh, they attack underneath. It's like, because they can. It's because they trust. That's the thing, Mahomes and even Allen. They, because everyone pictures Joe Burrow a certain way, who's tremendous. And that's the thing, is Mahomes kind of can do the nickel and dime stuff too and be a quasi Philip Rivers or old school Drew Brees. That's why they play this way. They're racing to get first downs, not touchdowns, because they're like, all right, we can just control the clock. That's what you want to do. That's winning football. So I haven't matched the frustration other people have had with this offense, because I look at their efficiency numbers, they're top 10. They're just not explosive. But I think there's not a real good way to shut down Patrick Mahomes. It's just hope and pray for a turnover. Get your hands up and tip a ball. Like, really, that's what you're hoping for.
If we knew, we wouldn't be sitting here with a headset.
Exactly. Yes, that's exactly it.
Nate Tice joins us, Yahoo Sports NFL analyst. I'll put your Commander's hat back on here for a second before you go. What would you do this offseason? You had great performances from Zach Ertz, Bobby Wagner. They're getting older. They're not getting younger. How do you build on this success, this foundation?
I think first and foremost everyone saw the Eagles game, but the weakness of this Commander's defense was the spine as far as stopping the run. And Bobby Wagner brought in great, and you can tell Dan Quinn wanted to bring him in along with some other vets to establish what we are.
Very important reason.
Something that kind of gets underrated. I really believe that. And, okay, we did that job. We established the culture. So I do think they need spine help, meaning linebackers and on the back end. I thought the run defense is a little iffy. I think they need edge help as well. Miles Garrett might be available, and the Commanders have cap space. I'm trying to get that going. I'm like, come on, guys. Like,
you're in the right place.
This one makes a lot of
sense.
You're
in the right place.
But that's where I look. A secondary receiver. I really like a lot of the scrappy blockers. I actually thought that's been a big aspect of Cliff's offense, different than Arizona, which was a lot of undersized receivers to maybe match the quarterback. But here with the Commanders, they had all these guys willing to block and do the dirty work, and that's why all those bubbles were so good. So maybe a second receiver that can be as dynamic as, or a slot receiver that can be as dynamic as Terry. Diami Brown had a nice year, but, you know, maybe an upgrade from that as well.
Of course.
Yeah. It's a great tight end class, too. So
there you go.
Yeah, so if you want to look tight ends, this is a great class for it.
Well, that's music to our ears for sure. Nate, you want to tell folks where they can find your podcast?
Oh, yeah, Football 301, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify. We're also on YouTube, Yahoo Sports YouTube channel. We do it with Charles McDonald, Matt Harmon. He does reception perception for Yahoo, big fantasy stuff. So it's a lot of fun. We have our preview coming out on Wednesday.
Awesome. Well, thanks for making some time for us.
Thanks for having
me. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We are always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. That is where you will hear VCU basketball tonight. 19-point favorites against LaSalle. A little taking care of business game coming off of them taking care of business. We are in New Orleans. It's Bud Light Big Game Week down here on Radio Row. But we always make time for our guy, Robbie Robinson, the voice of the Rams, joining us now. Robbie, good morning. How's it going?
MP, good morning, man. How's everything? How's New Orleans? You guys having a good time?
Went out last night, had a lovely dinner, ate way too much, so I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do here.
If you're eating too much, then absolutely, for sure. What'd you have? What'd you eat?
We went to Brennan's. I had oysters, snapper, and then for dessert, bread pudding.
Wow, snapper is a mature order. Like, I feel like that's kind of a I don't know. That's a little off the grid. Nice job by you for snapping.
We were with a guy who, like, is the general manager of the place, and I said, what should I order? And he said the snapper, and at that point, Robbie, you can't go back. You can't ask the guy who works there, what should I order? And he tells you what to order, and you can't be like, nah, bring me the chicken fingers. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a point of no return.
That's funny. Right, for sure. Good for you.
Well, break this Saturday game down for me. I mean, this was, everything you could hope for, biggest margin in the rivalry's history. What does this mean for VCU going forward to get that kind of win against the Spiders?
Well, I think it's important, Michael, not to read too much into it. Like, you know, we're not reserving Final Four tickets quite yet just because we beat, you know, Richmond by that margin. They are, you know, I think we got off to a great start. We had shot the ball poorly against St. Louis. We were going to get back to the mean somehow, and we did on Saturday. We're back at home. I think that was a big thing. You know, it feels like we've been on the road a lot. And if you look at it from these guys, you know, we left on the 12th of December to go to Colorado State or go to Vegas to play Colorado State. We're there for 8 days. Then the guys go home for Christmas. There's travel involved there. They get back from Christmas. Then we go to St. Bonaventure and Chicago in the same week. Have a couple home games. Then we're at St. Joe's, at Rhode Island. Home game against St. Bonaventure, at St. Louis. It's just a lot of apps when I'm looking at my schedule here at my desk. And I think that kind of wore them out against St. Louis. I think that caught up to them then. They get back. We have all day Thursday, all day Friday to get ready for Saturday. We just shot it better. And probably ultimately a bad matchup for the current personnel, at least for that game on Saturday against U of R. You know, our speed really took over our athleticism. They're continue to try to figure things out without, you know, Delonnie Hunt. So that's really what it is. It was a great win. It was euphoric to beat them by 41. When you beat your rival by that many, but on the same token, I think Coach Odom probably had him in the gym the next day being like, we cannot, this is not who we are. We've got to keep getting better. We didn't play perfectly. LaSalle's going to come in and be a load for us too.
That first stretch of the second half, that 4 minutes there, we got to tighten up. Yeah, there's always
sure.
something on the coaching points.
Well, what did you think? Like, you were there. What did you think about it?
I thought that their defense was spectacular, and you know, there's always it's the chicken and the egg. Does the defense create the offense, or is the offense creating the defense? Because I do think when they make baskets, they set better defensively than they were making baskets. But it sure felt like that defense was just locking them down. And to your point, Spiders are without their best player, not the best roster they've ever brought to the Siegel Center. But to keep the foot on the gas like that, and I loved seeing the young guys contribute, you know, get some points. Hopefully Luke Bamboye making some shots bodes really well for the future.
Well, it's unfortunate because whether we like it or not, if you blow teams out, you're going to move up in the net ranking in the KenPom. You just are. And I hate that. There's nothing good about that. I don't know why they have it. It seems so just contrary to what we're doing sports for. But the reality is if you can beat a team by that amount of points, it's going to help you down the line. And I think, you know, that's what we did. We just kept waves and waves and waves of guys at them. And that's really a bummer, too, because I think that stunts your growth. It makes it even that much harder for coaches to keep everybody on the roster happy. We had a chance to play Terrence Hill a lot the other day, which was great. I'm sure he was excited about that. But normally, unless the game's really out of reach, he doesn't get in meaningful minutes. And he is a very good player and someone that the future of VCU basketball, for better or worse, he has a little bit of that in his hands with Terrence Hill. And to not be able to play because you're only up 17 with 3 minutes left is a bummer. And so I wish they'd change that, but I think that's one of the reasons that we just kept going and going after them is because we knew that every point you lay on top is going to be maybe one opportunity to make a move in the net rankings. And in March, if we're an at-large bid contendant, then maybe that's going to be all the difference. It's peculiar and odd. I don't like it, but it is where we're at right now with it.
Robbie Robinson has the call tonight, and to his point, VCU, best position of all the A-10 teams right now, hovering in the 40s in the net, and that'll get the job done if they keep taking care of business. That starts tonight against LaSalle. I saw they put the tickets on sale, $8.04. Great chance for people who maybe normally can't get their hands on tickets to come out, watch a little A-10 basketball at a us-friendly 7 p.m. tip-off time.
No kidding. I mean, you're going to get to watch – a family of four can come watch the Rams tonight for under $40. That's great. And there's no bad seats in the place. Just like – it's the same with U of R. There's no bad seats at U of R. No bad seats at the Siegel Center. And so, yeah, like, come come watch this game. I think our guys are playing at a high level. We're 17-5, MP. I mean, that you look at, you watch Virginia and Pittsburgh last night, and you look at Virginia's record. They're like 10-11. They've won like two games before last night in the A-10, and we're rolling at 17-5. I think you mentioned it in your Richmond column the other day. It's not going to be a very, it's not going to be a fruitful march for Commonwealth of Virginia teams. At least it doesn't look like it right now. Anything can happen, obviously. So we're kind of leading things in the Commonwealth with George Mason right there with us. It's an opportunity to come watch us, and it's always great to go. No one ever goes to Siegel Center and not have a good time.
It's a great time, and our number one rooting interest, you know, is making sure VCU gets in because we're the home of the Rams. But my number two, Robbie, at all times, is getting William and Mary into the tournament. You know, and that's my secondary focus right now. It might happen.
Do they have a shot? I haven't paid attention. I mean, I know we beat the brakes off of them in December. How have they started in the CAA?
Really well. I believe they're 8-2 at the moment. Something
wow.
On the mark. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great? That would be great. You know, there's only three teams, MP, that have never made the NCAA tournament from the original Division I group from like the 50s. Do you know who they are?
One of the military academies, right?
Yeah. Which one? You should be able to pick it up. You should know that one.
I should know this one. Is it Army?
It is Army. And the other one is very similar in vein to what you just said, but not a military academy.
Citadel or VMI? Is it Citadel?
It's Citadel, yeah. VMI made it in the 70s. All those VMI grads wearing those rings right now, they're so mad at you for saying that. Oh, so mad. Citadel has never made it. I called Citadel games for like 8 years there.
Oh, wow.
And because at the time, there was five. At one point in time, there was five. It was William & Mary, Citadel, Army, and then St. Francis of Brooklyn, which is no longer an athletic department, so they were gone. And then forever, it was Northwestern, which is crazy to think a Big Ten team could not get in. But then they got in 2018, I guess, 2019, one of those years they got. They got in. The first game they played was the day before we played St. Mary's out in Utah. So that was, and then they've been a couple times since. So there's down to three. And William & Mary would be one of them. That'd be a good story.
That's the focus. I have looked it up. They are indeed 8-2 in CAA play. Towson 9-1. Towson's had their turn. They've had their moment. This is William and Mary's time. Let's get the Tribe in. Nice 16 seed. Give VCU in a nice seed. We'll have ourselves a nice March, Robbie. That's what it's all about.
For sure. I think, and we pull for them too. We pull for William and Mary because we know they, if every win they have helps us out. Like if they're, all of a sudden if their net ranking is a quad two somehow, they end up as a quad two, that would look good for us.
Absolutely. Robbie Robinson has the game tonight from the Siegel Center, 7 o'clock. You'll hear it right here on The Fan. Anything you'll be looking for in particular tonight in this game against LaSalle?
Yeah, they got a guy, Deuce Jones, who's a freshman, and he has had five Rookie of the Week honors in the Atlantic 10, which is substantial. That's the most ever for a rookie in the Atlantic 10. I will be very interested to see how he performs in the atmosphere that is the Siegel Center. And sometimes it can take a great player and really cut him down to size. And I think, I don't know how good Deuce Jones is. I don't know if he gets a lot of buckets late when they're losing or if he's a money man. I don't know. But I think tonight we'll see how good this guy is. You know, VCU rarely gets rookies of the week because our older guys play, and that's just kind of the way we are. You bide your time as a freshman, and unless your name's Bones Highland, then you usually contribute as a sophomore, junior, or senior. Well, they need their freshman to play well, and this guy, Deuce Jones, is a good player. So watch him. Not a big three-point scorer, just kind of a bucket maker and also good distributing the basketball as well. So I think he's going to be a fun guy to watch. And anytime you can get that kind of accolade that many times during the year, it's not a joke. You could maybe mess around and have one good game. But no, Deuce Jones is going to be the guy that he's a freshman from Trenton that I'm going to be watching tonight. And how is he going to react to the animal that is the Stew?
Hey, that's the insights we love when Robbie comes on. And I'm excited to watch that matchup now. We'll hear your call
tonight.
Where
will you watch it? It's on CBS. Now, where are you and Adam going to go find a bar there on Bourbon Street, or will you hole up in the hotel? Where are you going to consume the game tonight?
I'm not a hotel guy in New Orleans. We're gonna find a bar.
Okay,
I'll put Adam in charge of that. He's got 3 hours here to figure out where we're gonna watch the game tonight. We're gonna get to the bottom.
They got
to
make sure they have it on the TV too. They got to make sure they get CBS Sports Network because that's what it's on.
Yep. We'll get them to pipe in the call on the Odyssey app. We're going to do all the things. We can figure that out.
If you can link up the broadcast to the, then you're, man, you guys will be after my own heart.
Now we're talking. Robbie, thank you for the time. Have a great call tonight.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, MP.
All right, Bud Light Big Game Week rolls on from New Orleans right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan. Tuesday morning rolls on, first of four live shows from New Orleans. Bud Light Big Game Week. Welcome aboard, everybody. Michael Phillips here, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. And pleased to welcome in from Sumer Sports fantasy football expert Lindsay Rhodes. Lindsay, good morning. What's up?
Hi.
Hey. What are you up to down here? What's your week look like?
Doing a few shows of our own,
yeah.
Jumping on a lot of other shows like this one, trying to in part spread the word for the company, which is kind of branching out into more consumer products. Sumer Sports is a data and scouting company.
Okay.
And I've been doing some of the media arm type content for them. And what we do is we provide teams, college and NFL teams, with data and scouting, kind of next level evaluation information. And so we're going to be branching out into the consumer space. And so I'm trying to spread the word about that because we've got some really, really cool information that I think fans would be into.
Excellent. Sumer Sports, S-U-M-E-R,
yep.
Sports. We were talking about the Commanders. We're the Commanders of Philly. You mentioned Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
Well. Free agent. Is he worth signing? Is he worth signing for a big deal? Where are we at on Bobby Wagner?
You know what? I kind of thought I was actually surprised consistently this year with how well I thought he was playing.
Agreed.
And I don't think he's a perfect player. I mean, there's certain elements of his game where you can sort of see the age a little bit, but I was a little bit surprised. We have some advanced metrics that are just our own that use tracking data. And he ranked first in our pass rush get off. That's easy to say. Say that five times fast. And the pass rush finish first out of an awful lot of people. So I thought that was pretty impressive that he was still doing that. I feel like he's been in the league for a million years.
And he was part of the Legion of Boom.
Yeah.
Which feels like it happened four generations ago.
Totally.
In football time.
I know, exactly.
And yet, am I crazy for thinking I'd love to have him back next year?
I think you could definitely, I think that would be great. I mean, there's a lot of people that you're looking to replace. And so,
yes.
You know, as many of them that are working that you could just plug back in.
Yes.
I mean, and I kind of think that, you know, Bobby Wagner at his age probably isn't going to sign a massive deal. I might be wrong about that. I haven't looked into the numbers, but that's just my gut instinct there. And so I think that, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Maybe go back there.
Everybody's talking about Myles Garrett today, obviously.
Yeah.
His desire to get out of Cleveland. Would you make the move? He's 29, but he's playing at a high level. Sure looks like he will for a while.
You mean if I was another team and I was looking to trade away all of these assets to bring in Myles Garrett, All the assets, yeah. Our Sumer comp, our trade comp for Myles Garrett trade is Khalil Mack.
Okay.
Is the closest trade comp, and that was two firsts plus, and I think that's the starting point.
Wow.
I think that's what you're looking at, and to be honest with you, I think he's worth it. He has the highest scout grade in our entire database, in the entire NFL, this year. And he has just so consistently played at such a high level. I mean, you're looking at 100th, 98th percentile in just about everything across the board. So I think that if you are a team, I think it's a specific team. I think if you are, clearly, if you're in a rebuilding situation, he doesn't even want to go there, right? You're not going to get traded there because that's why he's leaving Cleveland. So you're looking for a team that has a strong enough roster that they don't desperately need the picks in terms of rebuilding and can afford to send those picks away. Obviously, everybody goes to the Lions first because, maybe even just from a fan standpoint,
yes.
Can you even imagine
somehow making that defense better?
Yeah. Your fans probably don't go to the Lions first, actually. As soon as I said that, I was like, I am talking to a Richmond station, and they might actually be Commanders.
It's a split verdict because some people want him right now for any cost, and some people say, two, three first-round draft picks. There's a lot of holes on this team. NFC title game appearance, but there's a lot of holes on this team.
But so to me, the holes appear to be, and you are losing some assets on offense. So, right, your whole wide receiver, literally your whole wide receiver room outside of Terry McLaurin and Luke McCaffrey. Bye. all free agents.
Yes.
Although I kind of wonder if it just makes sense to bring back like De'Ami Brown or,
well,
you know,
Olamide Zaccheaus. There's no doubt.
That's not going to be super costly. And so go ahead. It's like the chemistry is all there. Let's just keep building on this. Maybe, maybe not. Zach Ertz. Maybe it makes sense to not. I mean, I kind of think that Ben Sennett is an interesting guy to maybe step into that role, a la Trey McBride in Arizona when Zach Ertz left. But,
okay.
But point being that most of the holes are on defense, and so if you and the room for improvement is needed on defense.
There
like
you
this is the area that
this
you have to attack this offseason if you're the Commanders. If you bring in Myles Garrett and then make a move here or there elsewhere, like that defense looks very different.
He's a game changer, and they need a game changer.
Yeah.
Sure. We're hanging out with Lindsay Rhodes. Sumer Sports is the website. You've done a lot of fantasy football stuff over the years. All right. The new thing is not winning, but losing. You punish the loser, right? What's the craziest loser punishment you've seen in fantasy football?
So we have talked to... So I talked to Kofi Kingston recently. I don't know if any of you or your listeners follow the WWE, right? So he is a very popular wrestler. And we had him on the podcast that I do for Sports Illustrated, Fantasy Dirt. And he said that their league punishment was that you had to go take the SAT. And
with all the kids?
Yes.
With the
and he was so incentivized not to be last because he's like, these are his friends from, you know, back home, right?
Yeah.
And so he's like, you guys, no offense, but if you lose and you go take the SAT, like, that's one thing. If I walk into a room and I'm taking the SAT with a bunch of 18-year-olds, this is like... very embarrassing on a high level, and it will not go unnoticed.
No.
Like, he's a massive man, right? So I feel
like into the little schoolhouse desk.
I feel like that's a good one. I've talked to someone else in that similar vein, someone else who had to take the ACT or one of those types of tests, and the rule was that they had to continue taking it until they passed it.
Oh no.
Like, or I don't know what passing it even means, like getting a certain grade or whatever, or level, you know, number.
Getting
but
into college.
I think that's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one.
That's one that could last for years, too.
Wrong
person like, loses.
It's a bummer. You're so stupid. We're going to be talking about this for years.
Exactly. What's new in the fantasy football space? I feel like we went to two quarterbacks a couple years ago. People started doing that.
There's so many ways that you could play. I'm playing right now. This has nothing to do with the larger fantasy community, but I'm playing in a playoff one-and-done league that is so fun.
What does that mean?
This format's amazing. So one-and-done is you can only play each player one time, which means that you have to be strategic about when you want to play them on a week-to-week basis, right? You're playing five players, you know, the traditional players and then a flex player.
If you use a player, you can't use them again.
Never again.
Okay.
So you're trying to be strategic about who you think is going to lose.
And do well.
And do well.
Score a lot of points and lose.
So while also trying to be strategic about who you keeping players left for the game. So, like, for instance, strategically, I played only NFC quarterbacks up until this point so that I was guaranteed to have a quarterback for the Super Bowl. Like, pick one conference, never touch the other one.
I like that.
And that way you're guaranteed to have somebody for the last round.
That's
quarterback's the only one that you're, like, 100% out, you know, if you don't have one of the two guys. But, yeah, so there are so many different fun formats now.
That's awesome. Lindsay Rhodes, thank you for joining us. You want to remind everybody the website again?
Sumersports.com. And if you go there now and sign up for something we're doing in beta testing, it's called Sumerbrain. It's kind of like a Google search, but for high-level football questions. And so we'll be rolling it out to the public, you know, in a while. But for right now, if you want to hop in there and just sort of throw any questions that come up at this time of year, like who are the unrestricted free agents for the Commanders?
Okay.
It'll bring up an entire list for you. How many draft picks did the Commanders have? Those kinds of questions that sometimes Google gets wrong. We're trying to train it right now to answer some pretty deep football questions.
I love it. That's awesome. Lindsay Rhodes joining us. Sumer Sports is the website. We are back after this. You're listening to Bud Light Big Game Week on 910 The Fan.
910
The Fan, 105.1 FM, always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. VCU game night, 7 o'clock tonight. Rams against LaSalle right now. Though we welcome in our friend Joe Maloney, Senior Vice President of Comms for the American Gaming Association. Joe, good morning. How's it going?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're the closest we have to a Super Bowl week regular, and it gets me excited every year. I'm going to go to the Super Bowl. I'm going to chat with Joe. He's going to drop some knowledge on me.
It is one of the biggest U.S. sports betting moments on the calendar now that we have legalization in this country, the other two being men's and women's basketball tournaments in March, and then actually the start of the NFL season. So really the NFL is what really moves the needle in the sort of legal sports betting economy. And, you know, you could also make the same argument, just any sort of sports betting economy, right? It's just the NFL is the behemoth. And so it's exciting to come here and talk about it. Most importantly, it's exciting to come, particularly with Virginia, Maryland, and D.C., in Virginia in particular. There's a really good story about just the legal market, right? Virginia actually went first on online sports wagering before any types of gambling beyond lottery sales, of course. And so it's a really great success story for Virginia.
Hey, NFL doesn't move the needle for us. The NFL is our needle. That's it. I mean, that, you know, everybody wants to be here talking about the NFL, the season, minus the NBA trade, I guess, this week. But you have experience. You were with the Commanders for a while. You were in that space, and now you're in the gaming space. How's that interplay between the two sides been? Because for a while, the NFL, we don't talk about gambling. And now I think you're seeing – you guys are building the framework out for this.
Yeah, so 4 years ago, I was hired by the previous owner and Jason Wright to come in, and one of my first responsibilities was to help with the regulatory and market design in Virginia and then in Maryland, two jurisdictions where the club had an opportunity to gain what's called market access. And the previous owner was very progressive in the sports betting space. He was actually really progressive in the fantasy sports space. So the then Redskins were one of the earliest teams to have a fantasy sports partnership, and that actually was FanDuel. And so when lawmakers in Richmond began working on sports betting, we were there very, very early. And as you might recall, Mike, the license that was granted to the then Washington football team had a 48-hour exclusive window, thanks to the good folks in Richmond.
Or like the AFC title game.
Right before conference title weekend.
Yeah.
And so we launched with FanDuel. And so I was on the ground level for that work, along with our team president, Jason Wright. And yeah, it's been a pretty remarkable moment. Anytime there is a new entrant of any kind in the business space that is B2C, business to consumer, you're kind of running to the NFL because that's where all the eyeballs are. And so in many respects, NFL teams, the league, and other sports leagues saw legalized sports betting as a bit of a gold rush in terms of revenue for sponsorships, partnerships, suite sales. And then obviously the selling of the live rights, that factors in because you have a whole new cohort of advertisers. And the same was seen with the gig economy, and the same was seen with technology, and the same was seen with Amazon and Google and the like. Sports betting was at one point that kind of new sort of child in the mix.
It's huge, obviously. Big business. Hey, you guys have a study out today. This is Joe Maloney from the American Gaming Association. You guys have a study out today about how big this weekend's going to be.
Yeah, so we have, based on a number of research and states reporting revenues on their legal sports betting handle, we were able to estimate that Americans will bet legally with legal online or retail sportsbook operators $1.39 billion just on the game.
Wow.
So that's a pretty remarkable number. It's absolutely a growth. It's a record number. It's a growth from previous years. We estimated at the start of the NFL season $35 billion to be bet legally across the 17-week regular season. Now you've had January, which was a big month for all of the legalized states because of the NFL playoffs. And you also see spikes where there's a home playoff team. So I'm really curious to see when Maryland and Virginia report their numbers to see what, you know, the enthusiasm for the Commanders meant in terms of betting markets in our region. And, you know, Virginia will be a huge market. Down to the state, we've estimated Virginians will bet legally on the game $68 million.
Wow. And that's just our guy, Derby Bill, who calls in sometimes. No.
Thank you, Derby Bill. Just make sure you bet legally, Derby Bill.
He definitely does. We'll give Derby Bill a shout out here. All right, take off your American Gaming Association hat for a second. You're a D.C. guy. You've been with the team. How cool is it to see the Commanders relevant like this again?
I would say, just from the standpoint of having been in the building for three really interesting years, two and a half of those years with two different names, two and a half of those years with an owner that was trying to figure out where were we going to put the stadium, which I was chiefly involved in, to now I'm going to exit and the process to finalize a transaction to sell the club, to then 6 months with the Harris ownership group. I'm just happy for the fans, Mike. I was talking to our dear friend and great alum, Brian Mitchell, on the walk in here today.
Yep.
And I just said my favorite part of the job was the Sunday mornings driving to the stadium, where it would be 9:30 before a 1 o'clock game. Fans are setting up their tailgates. A father and son's throwing the football. And that was when the team was bad.
Yes.
And so this fan base just deserved this winner. And so the energy and the electricity in town is just, like, unbelievable. People just, like, peacocking in their Redskins gear and their Commanders gear and their Washington football gear. I don't get asked questions anymore at a soccer game if I'm a Commanders fan because I'm wearing a Commanders shirt. It's just like a fist bump,
yes.
Like, hey, let's win today.
Yes.
And, like, that's big shift for people.
Yes.
So I'm just so excited for the club.
It's so cool. You were part of the group that laid the groundwork for what is, I'm not going to jinx it, but getting closer to reality, a new stadium and the RFK land being transferred. I think that's the next leap forward, is to get that downtown space that everybody rallies around.
It's the next big business moment, off the field
yes.
moment for the club. And as the media surrounding this club and as the fan base surrounding this club, we have a historical tendency to focus on things off the field.
That's what we do.
So this will
we
be
started with the name today. Josh Harris talked about the name yesterday, so we started with the name today.
This will be the probably, I think, the only focus off the field. It's a huge revenue opportunity for the club. It's a massive economic development opportunity for the region. And while it continues to be a multi-jurisdictional exercise, as I understand it and as I read in the newspaper, you can't discount the emotional and spiritual ties to the RFK parcel and the massive economic development opportunity that would be that development for that community specifically. We all drive by it. We all see a rusted, decrepit stadium. But we also see a beautiful landscape. We see waterfront. So the possibilities are endless.
Yes.
And I know, you know, Richmond had an exercise several years ago under the previous owner. I just keep thinking back to the summer of 2022. Like, we were pretty darn close down there
yeah.
in Richmond. Very
yeah.
close. So it's just amazing how these things play out.
You never know. And that's why I say I'm not going to jinx it or anything. Joe Maloney joining us from the American Gaming Association. What's next? 37 states now? Is that where are we at here?
We're at 39 states.
39
and the
states.
District of Columbia are live and legal. Missouri just passed a ballot referendum. They will become legal by the end of this year, start of the NFL season in 2025. So soon we'll be 40 states in the District of Columbia.
What's next in the betting space?
Yeah, the conversation really just is focused on California and Texas, just like two massive states that do not have sports wagering. California has tribal casinos. Texas doesn't have any gambling of any kind. So it's a massive opportunity. And I think what's really important about the scale of this and the dramatic expansion of legalized sports betting is Democrats and Republicans universally came together and said, people are betting on sports. They're just doing it illegally. So let's set up regulatory frameworks. Let's protect consumers from unscrupulous actors in the illegal market, shady offshore accounts, bookies in your neighborhood, and let's bring this out into the light. And as a result of it, let's capture tax revenue and let's use those revenue for our own priorities. Maryland, public education. Virginia, general revenues. Both dedicating services for problem gamblers and for responsible gambling promotions. These things are happening right now in California and Texas, but there's none of that attention paid to the ecosystem to support those folks that might be doing it illegally. So it's an important conversation. There's a lot of stakeholders in each of those states. Those are the two big ones. You might see a few others come online. I know Minnesota's continuing to work on something, but the big ones are just California and Texas.
How about that? Anywhere you want to send people this morning, you have a website or anything, so you guys are here?
Yeah, absolutely. Just encourage folks to bet legally, bet responsibly, stick to a budget, keep it social this weekend with your betting, and finally, not a single professional athlete cares about the result of your event, of your bet.
Stop tweeting.
So just don't tweet at them. Don't send them a stupid Venmo request. That stuff's over.
Yeah.
Go to haveagameplan.org to learn more about how to bet responsibly this weekend. Thanks so much, Mike.
Man, thanks for coming by, and we're back with more after
tonight's meal. Tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle.
With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
To this, you're listening to 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, always worldwide on the free Odyssey app, off and running at Bud Light Big Game Week. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Thanks to our friends at Bud Light for sending us down to the big game in New Orleans. Radio Row is hopping. Awad and I were just talking. I don't think we've had a Radio Row this good on a Tuesday in a long time. Ryan Leaf joins the show here in 15 minutes. Nate Tice from Yahoo Sports at 11:15. Robbie Robinson, the voice of the VCU Rams, in his usual spot at 11:30. We have not forgotten. It is a VCU basketball game night. We got Macy, the intern, hanging out here. She's from Old Dominion. We don't hold that against her, though. Not a rivalry anymore. Back in my day. Back in my day, that was a rivalry. Not a rivalry anymore between VCU and Old Dominion. They went chasing the football money. Good for them. They've been very successful. VCU has stayed in its basketball lane. Good for them as well. But we got a ton of fun coming for you this week from Bud Light Big Game Week. So yesterday, Awad went over to opening night, the opening ceremonies, which I don't doubt all of his... You heard a little bit of it on the Junkies this morning. I don't doubt that his content is going to be spectacular. I blew off opening night. Grant Paulson said, "Do you want to come out to Brennan's?" Brennan's is a famous restaurant here. And so I did. I said, "Yeah, I want to go to Brennan's with you." He knows, like, the guy who runs Brennan's. So this thing's off the charts to start with. But the deal is, Grant has the appetite of a 7-year-old. He's like chicken fingers and fries. So I'm kind of wondering how this is going to work at this very fancy Cajun restaurant. And so they're bringing around, you know, they're bringing out oysters and they're bringing out, you know, snapper and fish and all these things. He's not touching them. And I'm kind of wondering how's this going to work. Then they brought out the steak. They brought out a steak, and then they brought out some other stuff. They brought out French fries in the end, some mac and cheese. Everybody left happy. It was a good deal. So here's the situation, though. Brennan's, Grant told me I'm going to eat at Brennan's every night this week, and I believe him. He's not. Brennan's closes tonight after dinner because a large company in the gaming space has bought it out for the weekend. They've bought the whole restaurant out, just right there in the French Quarter, famous restaurant, to host their people in for the week. I know more details than that, but I can't share them. Suffice it to say, it is a silly amount of money to buy out one of the most famous restaurants in New Orleans for the entire weekend. They've got like a big courtyard where you can eat, you know, they got a bar and all that stuff. Nelly's coming in on Friday to perform for the company's guests, the Chain Smokers on Saturday. Yeah, so that's the caliber we're working with here in New Orleans this week. Apparently, Fox has bought out an entire block of Bourbon Street to entertain their people, just like all the restaurants, all the shops. The money's silly here. Not the Brennan's deal, but another deal that I heard about. It's a big company. You've heard of them. They make a lot of things. $67 million for their setup here this week. They'll build it up. They'll host for the weekend. They'll tear it down on Monday. $67 million. The money here is insane. Around the Super Bowl. It's the Super Bowl of sporting events. It's the Super Bowl of Super Bowls. It's in New Orleans for the first time in 10 years. There's a lot of pent-up demand down here, obviously. 11th Super Bowl in New Orleans. Always a great city to have it at. Weather's fantastic this week. Get a chance to walk around. So I'm eating everything. I'm trying, like, they're bringing enough food for the table. It's Grant, three of his producers, CK, who's our boss, and the guy. You know, the Brennan's guy. His last name's not Brennan, but he's a Brennan's guy. It, like, there's six of us around the table, and when they're bringing food, they're bringing six of everything. Six oysters, you know, six little fish dishes, six pimento cheese and whatnot, but Grant's not touching it. But one of Grant's guys isn't touching it either. So I'm like, I start the meal, I'm like, this is night one in New Orleans. I am going to pace myself. And then we get to the point where it's like, Grant's not eating his oyster. The oyster's spectacular, obviously. You're not going to eat your oyster? I'll eat your oyster. You're not going to eat your fish? I'll eat your fish. Yeah, you know, I'm having three dinners at Brennan's last night, essentially. And I realize we get to the entree, it's like, oh, I am not pacing myself. This is not a good start to my week in New Orleans. They're going to roll me out of New Orleans at the end of the week is what we're doing. I'm going to pace myself tonight, though. I'm saying that in front of Macy, who's going to hold me to that. I'm pacing myself tonight over at the media party where everything is free, so I will definitely be totally unable to pace myself. If it's free, I'll take three. So it's been a great time. The Radio Row has, I think, more juice than it's ever had on a Tuesday, on a Monday. Normally these things don't get kicking until tomorrow. Everybody's here. We're in our little corner of the world. Grant's here. He'll take over at 3, of course, after AWOD Radio. We got the 106.7, the fan table from D.C. JP and B-Mitch are over there doing their thing. Hometown Super Bowl for B-Mitch, which is cool, who's a Louisiana legend around here. But opening night, certainly lots coming out of that. Lots of NFL storylines on the whole this week. This is the week. If you want to make your noise, make an impact, this is the week to do it. If you want to demand a trade, if you want to get demanded a trade, this is the week to do that. Cooper Kupp on the market. I don't think there's going to be a big Cooper Kupp market. I really don't. You look at 2 years left on that contract, $20 million next year, $19.9 million in 2026. So you're trading for Cooper Kupp, sure. Do you want him? Yeah, he's a good receiver. But that's what you'd pay him. So there's no bargain there. I don't think a team's going to give up anything of substance to land a receiver on a fine contract, right? It's the Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne prop. You could trade them, but is anybody clamoring to get a guy who's probably fairly compensated? Probably not. Not unless they're a game changer. I don't think Cooper Kupp's a game changer. Now, obviously, totally different scenario in Cleveland, because you've got an actual game changer there in Myles Garrett. Somebody's going to pay a lot for Myles Garrett because he's a game changer. The Eagles owner, Jeffrey Lurie, he used the Super Bowl last night to start planting some seeds of his own. Now, I had heard this when we went to Philly a couple weeks ago, so he's saying this publicly for the first time. He's very interested in bringing the Super Bowl to Philadelphia. Now, what does that mean? That means a dome on that stadium. The lease expires at Lincoln Financial Field in 2032. And so he's planting the first seeds, right? We're 7 years away now. I'd like a roof on that stadium. Put a roof on that stadium, host the Super Bowl, host some Final Fours, maybe a full new building. You got to strike while the iron's hot. That's the one certainty here. The Washington Redskins came down to Richmond, said, let's have training camp in Richmond, right as RG3 was catching fire. They got a lot of money. People are buying in on a good product. The product cratered. Everybody wanted them out of town. The Eagles are a good product right now. Now's the time to ask for whatever you want to ask for. What's funny is the Chiefs, they put out their let's have a new stadium, but it was in conjunction with the Royals, who are a full dud of a team. Nobody bid on that a couple of years ago. Royals were all right this year. They made the playoffs. They got some young talent. But a couple of years ago, they weren't moving the needle. Nobody is voting for that. Adam, can you jump on for a second? Because I want you to break something down for me. This has nothing to do with Bud Light Big Game Week. AWOD Radio, Adam Epstein, is on from noon to 3 today. Help me out here. You posted this story about the Hayfield situation.
Yeah.
Which, as you know, I cannot get enough of the Hayfield situation.
Yeah.
They promoted the Hayfield principle and people are mad about it. What's going on here?
So,
sum this up.
This story has legs, man. I mean, this story just, it never dies.
We're going to be talking about this for decades.
And
this
so,
is such a, this is the Northern Virginia football team who they had a super team. The coach moved to another school. All the players moved with him and people got very mad about it. Carry on.
Yes, absolutely. And Hayfield did no wrong in this story. The head coach of the football team followed the rules. He might have found some loopholes. He followed the rules.
He brought his super team with him.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is technically allowed, right? So the latest with the story is that the coaches that filed complaints, all right, to the head of FCPS, they are now in hot water, and the head coach of South County football, who is the first that brought the complaint,
yes,
should be a Hall of Famer, Coach Pannoni, was just removed from his job by the same person at FCPS that gave the Hayfield principal a promotion. So it does not make any sense to me. I tweeted it because I'm trying to get a reporter on my show to break it down for me. Obviously, you know, I'm a South County alum, and so I'm pissed that
their
football coach
here.
Is gone.
You're not unbiased.
Dude, he won the state title in 2011, 2019, and he plays whistleblower and complains about Hayfield, and he loses his job?
But the Hayfield guy, like, this isn't like promotion like you did a good job. This is like we're going to move you to a corner where nobody sees you, right?
Yeah, but it kind of sounds like a pay raise. It kind of sounds like a resume booster, you know.
That's crazy. There's a lot more to this.
There's so much more to it.
All right. AWOD's on alert for us, our official Hayfield High School correspondent. Hour number two on deck. Next, this is 910 The Fan.
910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, bringing things home on a Tuesday. We are rolling at Bud Light Big Game Week live from New Orleans, thanks to our friends at Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Perfect beer to enjoy the big game with on Sunday. Back for a second appearance by popular demand, Mitch Dischler, Monumental Sports. Mitch, how's it going?
It's going fantastic. I was loving the VCU talk. I'm a big Ram fan this year. I think they're going to be really good.
You asked if this is their best team in a while since Shaka, and they had Ace and Bones, but when they're hitting shots, the numbers don't lie. This is a very good basketball team.
I mean, listen, they cover at an elite rate, which is awesome for folks like me, and I'm enjoying watching them. I was saying to you guys just off air, I think this is the perfect type of team that can step in and upset some teams in March, and this could be a Sweet 16 team.
This is a team that can beat anybody in the country on any given night and can lose by 30 if the shots don't fall, as we saw in St. Louis as well. That's the perfect tournament team. That's all I need for chaos in March. That's
Get hot for a couple days in March, and everyone's excited about
that's
you.
That's all you need. We'll be up in D.C. Next month, the A-10 basketball tournament in D.C. this year, as we welcome in AWOD Radio for a little crosstalk. What's up?
Yeah, I love the VCU basketball talk. I am such a homer, so I agree they could make it to the Sweet 16. I just wonder if the center position will come back to haunt them, Michael.
They need a big man, and we've seen them get beat up by big men before. But if you make all your three-pointers, you don't need a big man.
Right. I mean, it's like with the Commanders. It doesn't matter if they can't stop us. If we don't punt, you're not going to beat us.
That's the Bengals win right there in a nutshell. We're off and running on Radio Row. I think, and Mitch, you've been to a few of these. Adam, you've now been to a couple of these. I think this is as big as Radio Row's been as early in the week as ever. We've had, like, top-tier guests today. You don't normally get that on a Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, we got in yesterday. We were over here on Radio Row, and it was packed. And it's funny because we were joking that nowadays with everything, with video-enabled stuff and whatnot, the TV cameras, there's lights everywhere. It's a different experience than it was 5 years ago or so.
We're a multimedia experience. Macy, the intern's hanging out with us all week, representing ODU, so we go behind enemy lines there with Macy to borrow one of your favorite bits. But it is. It's a video world now. There's podcasts. You guys are doing your thing nightly. Is that correct?
Yeah. On the Monumental Sports app, we're going to be doing live streams every day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then we'll have our TV show on Saturday and Sunday. It'll be a perfect pregame show before you get ready for the big game on Sunday afternoon. So it's very exciting. Lots of good guests. It's been a ton of fun.
I always sit around at 10 in the morning on Super Bowl morning. Why hasn't the pregame started yet? So thank you. Thank you for filling that.
It starts at 10. It's also at noon, and then I think at 1 o'clock also. So for those of you that don't want to wake up that early on Sunday morning and get started with football, there's time.
That's how I used to watch SportsCenter back in the day, back when it was the same SportsCenter all morning long, just on repeat. Didn't stop me from watching it over and over and over again.
Exactly. That's how I got ready in the morning when I was in high school. I'd turn it on. I'd go take a shower. I'd pick up one part
exactly.
of it. Come back, pick up the next. It was great.
Exactly. Thank you to Adam for getting us set up here, because you do this every year. I never have any clue what I'm doing. But I think we're off and running to a great start here.
Yeah, I mean, no technical difficulties. I'm really appreciative of that. I mean, shout out to the engineers for, you know, giving us the special Comrex that can connect 4, even up to 6 microphones, right? So we really could bring as many people on as possible.
I'm just looking one guest at a time. I'm doing this wrong.
Think about the possibilities.
We're going to go big. What a great show today. That was so fun having Ryan Leaf here. What an impactful story. But also the way he broke down Cliff Kingsbury's offense, like that. It just shows you how thin the line is in the NFL. Like, he's a bust, right, in air quotes. obviously an incredibly smart football brain, though.
Yeah, I really enjoyed his conversation with you. I mean, just really insightful. Everybody hears about how, oh, Ryan Leaf, but Peyton Manning, right? And he even admitted, like, he's the butt of the joke every time Super Bowl, you know, Radio Row. And then again during the draft, he's the butt of the joke. But, you know, he's used it to his advantage to create a platform to tell his story. And I thought that was a great comparison with the, you know, eight mile Eminem of, hey, I admitted everything that I've done wrong. Now what else you got about me?
And then Nate Tice came by. He's ready to start the Myles Garrett to D.C. hype train. I think a lot of people are ready for this, Mitch.
I'm on board with it. Listen, aren't many players that I would trade the amount of capital that it would take to get a guy like Myles Garrett.
You're probably starting at two first-rounders here.
Which, in years, it's funny because we all have to change the way that we think about this football team, because we always thought about first-rounders being so valuable, and there's no question that they are.
Because they were top tens.
But they were all top tens. Listen, it's number 29 this year. Next year, you're assuming that the team is going to, even if he has a down year like C.J. Stroud, quote-unquote, had this year,
yep,
they still won a playoff game. They're picking post 20. You know, if you're giving up number 29 this year, number 23 next year, it's not quite the same value as all those top 10 picks that they gave up for RG3.
It just, everything has been like everything they tried to do for so many years they're doing now. Like Ron Rivera brings everybody from Carolina, they're all terrible, and then you get Luvu, like, and all of a sudden, oh, you know, the Carolina player with an impact. How funny would it be to have all these big trades, all these splashy deals, and then, like, you're trying to build the D-line, try to build the pass rush, they've all been busts, and Chase Young leaves and all that. And now you finally get a guy, you know, year one of the new regime.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth it. I really do. I've been saying I want the Commanders to be the most aggressive team in the NFL this offseason. Let's pick up the phone and see what's going on in L.A. with Cooper Kupp, right? I want T. Higgins. I want Trey Hendrickson, too. I mean,
we're going to need a bigger comrade.
There's just not a name out there that I think the Commanders shouldn't be interested in, because our window of opportunity is right now, right? The future is now. Let's go get back to the NFC title game.
Jane Daniels makes $9 million next year. That probably will not last forever.
Right.
I got to be honest, though. You mentioned T. Higgins. I am kind of out on T. He's an incredible player, but the wide receiver position is starting to turn into the quarterback position, where every year the best player gets a couple bucks more than the last one. I'm not interested in giving T. Higgins highest wide receiver salary in the NFL. He's a very good player. I don't know that you need to spend that much on him. And with the, you know, proliferation of 7-on-7 and college football spreads and all that stuff, you see rookie wide receivers come in and be successful every year. I'm not saying you're going to get Puka Nacua in the fifth round, but
right,
you can get a very, very good player in the second round who's going to be able to be a nice complement to Terry and kind of go from there. So,
But what if you say, I can't afford to miss, right? Because T. Higgins, he might not be a star, but at least you're going to hit on him. If you draft a rookie at 29 and you miss, well, then kind of you wasted a year of Jaden on his rookie contract.
But did you? Because they had nothing at the second wide receiver position this year and still were a top five offense. So, you know, because you have Jaden, it gives you a lot of leg room to quote-unquote miss.
Yeah,
I've been saying for years I think the wide receiver is a bubble waiting to pop. Teams are paying so much for these guys, and college is cranking out so many new wide receivers every year. Doesn't mean I'm out on T. Higgins. He's talented. But it just feels like these numbers are getting a little silly relative to the production.
Most years, I would say hell no to T. Higgins, but they have to spend money this year. Like that's kind of the reason why I'm all for him or Trey Hendrickson as well, is like, let's go out and get a guy that most teams would overpay for because they feel like they could be a contender. And that's Washington in this year. And it's the first time I've ever been able to say that.
It's so fun being able to do that.
Yeah.
What I think that there's a couple teams that you can look at in terms of roster building and look at having Jaden on the rookie deal and what you can do with that. I think you start with Kansas City, who's here in the Super Bowl, and you look at what they did with Patrick Mahomes. They brought in an elite offense for him early on in his career to get him comfortable, and now that he's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, they spend all their money on defense, and they're just like, hey, we got Patrick Mahomes. He can make it work with the group of Jags that he has around him outside of, obviously, Travis Kelce.
Yep.
And then you can also look at Houston and what they did. C.J. Stroud, they went and got Steph Diggs.
Yeah.
They went and bolstered that defense. I think those are a couple teams that I would like the front office group to kind of look at and plan with.
So does that mean your team fix the offense or fix the defense this offseason?
I am team fix the offensive line and defensive line and go from there, because the defensive line, and that's why I love Myles Garrett, you have a guy who's obviously a superstar pass rusher, but he's no slouch in the run game either.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing that was missing. I think Saquon Barkley had 9 carries of 20-plus yards against the Commanders this season, and all 9 of them were to the edges.
Yeah.
And we saw that all season long. This team was getting beat left and right on the edges, and none of the deep ends were particularly strong at setting an edge and forcing a running back to cut back up to the inside. And that's what I need out of my D-line the next year.
Yeah. More contract talk, I'm sure, on Beltway Football tonight with Mitch Tischler and his crew. That's on the Monumental app. AWOD Radio coming up next, 3 hours live and locals. We keep the party going. You're listening to Bud Light Big Game Week live from New Orleans. This is 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM.